All right, tonight we're going to be talking about keeping prayer in the center of your relationship. Amen, huh? So I have a question for you guys. How many of you in the last year have had to ever pray? Some aren't raising their hands. Wow, you guys are really... How about in the last month? The last week? How about the last day? Today? Right now? We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. That's what the Lord's telling us to do. And I'm going to ask that as we go through today, it's going to be a little more of a classroom setting because you guys have your little pamphlets. Does everyone have the pamphlet set that was handed out to you? We're going to be actually in just a couple minutes going through that. What I want us to do tonight is leave with resources to really understand, number one, what is prayer? And number two, the importance of prayer. And number three, that we really will pray on a regular basis. Does that make sense? Some of us, I know for my wife and myself, when we first got married and for years, we prayed over meals, but we didn't have an actual time of prayer together. And when we actually prayed together on a regular basis, it revolutionized our marriage and our relationship and understanding who God is. So I'm going to ask that as we go through this, that you think of how you can better your prayer relationship. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm never satisfied with my prayer life. Amen. You know, Della and I were really convicted this last week again. How many of you have ever seen the movie War Room?
Oh, yeah.
Powerful movie, isn't it? We watched it again on Monday because we're going through prayer and we're convicted that we're not praying enough, we don't have a good enough heart in prayer and so on. So we've recommitted ourselves to taking ourselves deeper. And that's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. Maybe you've never prayed with your wife or husband or significant other. Maybe you've never prayed with your children. Maybe you never have a prayer life where you pray by yourself. I'm going to ask that you figure out a way, and we're going to give you the tools to do that from now on a regular basis. Amen?
Amen.
Does that sound good? I'm telling you, you want to get closer to God, and you want to have the best marriage on earth, have a great prayer life. Have a great relationship with God, and it'll all fall together. Now, a couple months ago, we went through the armor of God, so I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 19 to you guys, just about the armor of God, and then we're going to pull out of that the one armor piece, and that's the piece for prayer and making sure that we're in prayer. So in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19, the word says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Again, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so we need the right tools. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in this evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded up your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always." What does that say, praying sometimes? "Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So here Paul's saying, hey, pray for me too, that I may be able to speak boldly the gospel and what God's called me to do. So, is there ever a time that we think we don't need prayer anymore? No one has an answer to that, huh? No, right? There's never a time that we don't need prayer. We need to constantly, number one, be praying. And number two, people will come up to me and say, "I want to pray for you, Pastor." I don't say, no, I don't need prayer. Bring it on. Bring it on. Please pray for me. I need prayer. I need to be closer to God at all times. So in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Again, always praying. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Again, we're always to be alert. And as you're alert, you're going to be alert to knowing what you should be even able to pray for. What's going on? Oh, no, this is overwhelming. Oh, pray. Pray. You're alert. There's a problem. There's a situation. Pray. And then it says, that's how we're going to get the peace of God, isn't it? Honestly, I could tell. I'm going to just give you one situation not too long ago for me. I had a heart attack. It'll be 4 years ago, April 7th at 8:30 at night. Not that I remember the exact date and time. But when I had that heart attack, I'm being rushed from one hospital to another. I get there, and they're telling me I'm going to be going into surgery. And Della's sitting there, and the surgeon's in there, and I'm texting. He was not happy, this doctor. He said, what are you doing? I go, I'm texting the pastors to pray for me. And he goes, do you realize how serious this is? Now, think of that. He's asking me if I know how serious this is. That's why I'm texting the pastors and Jack to pray for me. I absolutely knew how serious it was, but he probably was not a believer, so he didn't understand. Yes, I know it's serious, and I'm asking God for help and to intervene and to stay here with me. So I pushed the send button and handed Della the phone. He calmed down. I wanted him calm before he went in for surgery. Wouldn't be good if he wasn't. So in Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when the enemy's attacking, we need to pray. On all occasions, we need to be in prayer. We need prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of help me. Remember the old saying, I think I shared this when I went through Ephesians with you guys, the old saying of get on your knees and fight like a man. Have you guys heard that before? I mean, that's how you really fight the enemy. If I think I'm going to fight the enemy, Satan, by getting tough and puffing out my chest, it's not going to work. I have to pray. I have to ask God to intervene. I have to ask God to take care of it. Okay, I'm going to make this practical. Again, I'm looking at this as more of a classroom type for us tonight. So right now, you have there's a little flyer that says, pray according to Acts. That's a summary of what I'm going to read to you. Don't try reading it now. You'll get confused because I'm going to be actually going a little more in depth than that. But this will help you remember this acronym of how in our attitude, how and what our attitude should be when we're praying. Adoration. Begin the prayer by adoring God. Praise and worship Him. Sometimes I want to worship God before I even pray. I'm just listening to worship music. Gets my heart and my attitude right, and then it's easier to pray. This is a time for telling God what He means to you and how much you love Him. This is not the same as thanksgiving, where you thank God for all He has done, but a time to tell God how magnificent and holy and gracious He is, to focus solely on Him, to tell Him all the wonderful, wondrous, beautiful things about Him you love. King David was a great worshiper of God and a man God Himself stated was after His own heart. If you read Psalms for great examples of the adoration, Psalm 8, O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? The glory above the heavens. That just reminds me. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Is that okay? We just got back from vacation, and we were camping in Sequoia. And just to see the magnificence of God, the heavens and the stars and the moon. We had a moon shadow coming in. It was just beautiful. Realizing how magnificent God is. I believe very firmly, so many of us, we dumb down God. Does that make sense? We don't realize how wonderful and great and magnificent he is, and that he can do all things, that he created us. As I stated a couple months ago, if we believe in Genesis 1:1 that God created the heavens and the earth, we believe that. All Christians say we believe that. Then why can't we believe he can do so many other things in our lives? We need to believe that. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confesses to him. Confession, that's the next thing on the sea of Acts. This is when we confess all of our sins to God. Unconfessed sin creates a barrier between you and God and can hinder your prayers. Begin by confessing your sins to him with an apology and repent of heart. To repent is to stop and turn 180 degrees away from it. Ask God to bring to mind any sins you may not be aware of so that you may repent and confess. Now, don't make up sins. Seriously, we could say, oh, no, I've got to think of something that I did wrong. No, don't do that. But say, God, bring to my mind if there's anything I need to confess to you to be pure before you so you will hear my prayers tonight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and purify us from all of our unrighteousness. In 1 John 1:8-9, it says, oftentimes the feeling of the weight is lifted. We follow this step. This is important. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but we can separate ourselves from the love of God just as Adam and Eve ran and hid from the presence of God after their sin in the garden. Notice, God called after them. He did not want them to be alone. Does that make sense? Even when we sin and we're running from God, he's still calling. He's running after us, saying, repent, come back to me. Then the T is for thanksgiving. This is where we count our blessings, thanking and praising God for all he has given us and done for us in our life. You may begin with basics such as thank you him for your family, for your friends, for food, for shelter, for safety, for the job you have, for health, for healing. Honestly, Del and I, every morning when we get up and we pray, we start with, Lord, thank you for getting us out of bed, that we have the health to stand up right now. Maybe it's just because I'm old I do that, but really thank him for those things. Thank him for hearing your prayers and for forgiving your sins, for his all-consuming love for you. Thank him for his promises, for the glory of his handiwork, for his promises to you. If you don't know them, start looking them up. God's promises, excuse me, if you look through the Bible, you're going to see so many promises God has for you, for me. Look them up. Follow Paul's advice in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. S stands for supplication. This is also known as intercession. This is the phase of prayer where we come to the Father asking God to supply needs for ourselves and others. Be specific in your prayers. For example, honestly, please, if you've never prayed this deep, take this to heart and think of how you can apply this in your life. For example, instead of asking God to bless your family, ask him to help your son focus on his math class and to give his teacher the wisdom she needs to present the information in a way he can digest it. Does that make sense? So pray specific prayers to the Lord. If you feel led to pray for a certain person but don't know exactly what that person needs, ask God to lead you in the prayer and he will. There's people that just come to my mind that the Lord's saying, pray for so-and-so, and I'm not sure what to pray for him. And I just pray for them. I mean, God wakes me up in the middle of the night sometimes to pray for people. And I ask him, okay, what am I supposed to pray for them? And usually he gives me an idea. And if nothing else, I could pray for them to have peace. I could pray for them to love their spouse better. I could pray for them, Lord, you know what they're going through. Just touch them right now. Remember, prayer is an act of communicating with God. It is about communication. It is about relationship with the Father. Use these steps to help you obtain that, but don't feel you must adhere to any rigid rules. This is real important. If you get rigid in a rule, it's almost like, I'm an ex-Catholic, okay? How many of you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women? Then it becomes a repetitious prayer. So don't let this be so rigid. Pray to God, but use this as a guideline to help you to follow him. You may not hear it first, but with practice, you will begin to feel and hear God speaking in your heart. When you're praying, a lot of times at the beginning, you're praying and you're wondering, is God even hearing me? Because it's a different form of communication. And you're not sure if he's hearing you, but I promise you he's hearing you. And he is so pleased that you're praying and you're talking to him. So make sure that we're doing that in constantly. Okay, next. That's one resource now to remind you of way you can pray to make sure your heart's right and make sure you're praying. Next thing, here's a resource, this little sheet here, the copy, carbon copy, where it says prayer at the top. It says to earnestly request something. 1 second, my beautiful wife doesn't have one. You're welcome. That's Della, if you don't know. Okay, so then on this sheet it talks about to earnestly request something from or addressing of a divine. That's what prayer is supposed to be. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but rather laying hold of his willingness. Does that make sense? He's willing. He wants to be there for you. Prayer is not bending God's will towards ours, but our will towards him. Do we understand that? When I'm praying, it's not, oh God, I'm praying so you change your mind and you will do this. Okay, I used to pray that way. And sometimes I still do. I'm not right when I do it, but sometimes I know better than you, God, right? Well, we don't know better than God. But that's not why we're supposed to be praying, and that's not how we're supposed to be praying. Okay, so what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God in a manner that would be natural to you. You know, it really, I don't want to make fun of people, but it really bothers me when you're talking to somebody and they're talking just like I'm talking right now, and all of a sudden, oh, limited, oh, holy God of heaven. And it's like, oh my gosh, why did you have to do that? God, talk to God. Does that make sense? So don't feel that, oh, I have to, you know, my voice has to change and I have to quiver. And no, man, just talk to him. Can you imagine? I'm going to talk. Let me share something. Oh, Della, listen to me. That's not what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants you to relax. He wants you to just talk to him. He knows what's going on in your life. Does that make sense? So we can get really weird with prayer, honestly, and I don't want us to get weird. I want us to relax with him, realize it's natural. He is not as concerned with perfect language or these and thous as he is concerned with your heart. The Bible describes three types of prayer. So again, he's concerned with our heart. We come to him with a pure heart. God help me. I'm going through this. God help my wife. She's going through this. My wife was earnestly praying when I had my heart attack and was going into surgery. And she was earnestly praying. She sent out texts to people for them to pray and stuff. Earnestly pray, but communicate with God in a natural way. Okay, so I'm not going to read the scriptures because they're there for you to go to. But again, I want you to leave with practical stuff. This is going to be on you guys tonight, honestly. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to grow in the depths of your prayer, you can go really deep with the resources I'm going to give you. And I'm going to challenge you at the end to do something for 90 days minimal to change your life in the Lord. Okay, so what is supplication? Anybody know what supplication is? It says pray with supplication. Making a request to God. Okay, what is praise and thanksgiving? Anybody have an example of praise and thanksgiving? Amen. I don't know if you heard that, for your health, for your job, for everything God's given you, thanking him for that. Okay, so is prayer important? Okay, so here's what it says. It's essential for growth. Does anybody want to give an example of the growth that God did in you when you decided to have a prayer life? Anybody? Yeah, he started praying, and even before he read his Bible, he's praying and he's communicating with God. You know, I mean, all of us, even before we were Christians, I think we prayed like, God, save me. God, don't let me get this ticket. Right? But they weren't that real good, the type of prayers we need to get closer to God. And some of us as Christians still have to pray, God, don't let me get this ticket. Praying for God to help you in a time of need. Again, our time of need when I was having the heart attack. We're praying. We're asking earnestly. We had, the prayer team was praying like crazy. Adela was praying. We're asking God, this is our time of need, Lord. Help us to know what to do. We put this situation in your hands. Help us to grow through it. So how should we pray? It says persistently. What does that mean? Amen.
All the time.
Never give up. Never give up. Oh, well, that reminds me of a movie. But okay, humbly. Not, you know, like, okay, God, I'm going to tell you what I need. No, humbly, Lord, I'm coming, like we talked about in Acts. Lord, I'm coming before you humbly as your servant. Please, Lord, help me. Help me to have the right heart and attitude even in my prayer and what I'm doing. So it's real important that we come humbly, but yet boldly, believing. If you don't come boldly believing that God could do something, and then we don't expect it to happen. Does that make sense? I remember a time, X number of years ago, when there was somebody in the back of the church that fell over and they were having a seizure, swallowing their tongue, and they were going down for the count. And the medics were around, just the medics zipped around, and I just laid hands on that person. And I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you heal this person and help them right now. And they stopped and stood up. And I went, wow. And I'm telling you the truth, but I went, I really believed. I went there really believing that God was going to do something and God was going to touch that person. And that convicts me because I pray for a lot of people, and sometimes I could fall into just almost a rote prayer like I'm a Catholic again. And God says, you're praying wrong. And he has to convict me to change. Does that make sense? So we constantly have to be checking our heart, our motives. Are we praying humbly, but yet boldly, believing that God can do that stuff? Continually, as it says, and in everything giving thanks. With all of our heart and soul. Amen. Yeah. Amen. With all of our heart and soul. Everything we've got. Earnestly coming before him. Believing that he can take care of it. With no doubts. Amen. Amen. Yes. Broken and contrary spirit. Amen. Anything else? I love the interaction. I think it makes it real for all of us because we're all growing and learning together in this, right? Della and I have not arrived. We're continually prayerfully getting closer to Christ. Reasons for answered prayer. Confidence, again, praying in his will. Praying in his will. In other words, let me give you an example of that. God wants us to pray for our needs, not our greeds. That makes sense? I could pray, Lord, I don't have a car. I don't really have the money to get one right now, but I pray that you provide a car for me. Or I could say, Lord, I know you want me to have a Mercedes-Benz. And, it needs to have leather seats. And, you know what I'm saying. So you want to pray according to God's will, and confidence in, and then abiding in Him and in His Word. Now on the back, possible reasons for unanswered prayer. This is really important too. Asking with the wrong motive. Why are you praying? You know, think about it. Why am I praying right now? If I'm praying for a job position, and I'm praying to take this person's position, am I praying mean-spirited so they'll be gone? Or am I praying, Lord, I'd really like that position, and if it comes available, give it to me? Does that make sense? Praying with the right motives, with the right heart. Anybody else want to say anything about that, the right motives? Okay, unconfessed sin. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means if you're not righteous and you're not right with God, He's not going to hear your prayers. And you look at 1 Peter 3, it talks about husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding that your prayers may not be hindered. Does that make sense? So if we're fighting with our spouses and we're arguing and yelling all the time and then we're going to pray and then we expect everything to be good, get your heart right. Make sure your heart and your attitude is right. And it says they're not honoring or taking care of our spouses, poor personal relationships, unbelief, doubt, being double-minded. What does that mean? What does being double-minded mean? What's that, Kent? Going back and forth, yeah. Believe, if you're going to pray for something, make sure it's something that God wants you to be praying for and that you need, and or if not, that you're willing to change your mind. In other words, I'm willing to say, God, I think I need blah, 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 but thy will be done. You know what's best for me. I mean, so many times we think we know what's best for ourselves, and we're telling God how to run our lives, and God's saying, I've got a better way for you. I like to look at it as even sometimes we're looking at, God has a plan for my life, and it's get from point A to point B. And if I'm listening to God, and I'm praying, and I'm doing the right thing, this is how I go. But here's how I go. I made it! And God's saying, you could have made it a lot easier. Kind of like the children of Israel, right? They could have been in the promised land a lot sooner if they would have prayed and they would have been obedient to God. So those are the kind of things we need to do. Now, I'm not going to go through the Jesus' sample of prayer and what he said with the Our Father, but please read that later and understand what God's saying. This is, he said, when he's saying pray this way, he's not saying pray every time Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or Hail Mary. He's saying, this is the example of how you need to pray. And you see with each one of the verses there, it talks about what it means and gives you more scriptures to take you deeper. So again, it says, prayer is not getting my will in heaven, but God's will on earth. Does that make sense? That's what the whole Our Father is. Prayer is not getting my will in heaven, but God's will for me on earth. Okay, I added some things to this. You know me. I gotta add something. So I added, what if I don't feel like praying? I'm mad at God. Then what do I do? Anyone have an answer? You pray anyway. You need to pray more then. Honestly, you know, I'm mad at God. And so, I'm not going to pray. How about doing this? Do you think God knows you're mad? He's God. He made you. How about saying, God, I'm mad. He can handle it. He's the heavyweight champion of the universe. Right? He can handle it. So how about saying, God, I'm mad. I'm really frustrated. I don't know if I could take this. Be honest. He already knows. You're praying your heart and saying, God, help me with this. Help my attitude. Help my heart to be right. Does that make sense? Don't wimp out and say, I'm mad. I'm not praying. So I am mad, God. Help me get rid of this anger. Help me to be under control with you. That's when we need to pray most. Okay. I added this also. What prayer should not be? A time of grumbling and complaining. But again, God can handle it. He's got big shoulders. So, I mean, you know, just grumbling and complaining for no reason when God's given you the breath that he's given you. Does that make sense? There's so many times that we're not thankful for what God's given us. And we want, well, Billy Joe has this. How come I don't have it? You know, I've wanted a car just like them, but no, I have a Honda Pilot. You know, I love my Honda Pilot. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, be thankful. What's that? What's that? It seats eight people. This is a Honda commercial. Amen. And it pulls a trailer nice too. To Sequoia. Excuse me. So also, it's a time of asking, not demanding. Again, where he meets your needs, not your greeds. God's not a gumball machine. Well, I prayed for it, so I'm going to get it. No, prayer, again, is to change our heart, to change our mind, so that we can be obedient to what God wants for us. Where we're coming before his throne, asking him for help, asking him to do the things that we want done and changed in our life. Okay, here's a time when maybe you don't need to pray. Okay, do you ever think, gee, there's times when you shouldn't pray? How about I'm sitting out front and I see my neighbor's house on fire. And they're hanging out the window, ready to jump, saying, help me, help me. Lord, help them right now. Help them when they land on the concrete not to break their heads. You could be praying, Lord, help me, as you're running over there to help them get out of the window. Does that make sense? You could be praying as you're running. You need to run to them and help them. So it's not just, oh, let me just stand here and pray. There's times when you see something, you need to do action. As you're praying, God, help me as I'm doing this. Because we should be in a constant attitude of prayer all the time. How about this one? And this actually happened to me. How about should you pray about cheating on your wife? Oh, grumbling and planning for the couples ministry. Right on, right? We're not going to pray the opposite of what Scripture says, right? When we pray Scriptures. When we pray, we're not going to pray the opposite of what God's will is. I had this man come to me, and I knew him for years. He had a wife and three kids, and said, I am going to ask you to pray for me because tomorrow, he was a hairdresser. I'm going to be cutting this girl's hair, and I really like her, and I think I'm going to have an affair with her tomorrow night. And I'm a pastor, I'm thinking in my mind, are you kidding me? Are you really saying this to me? I said, brother, I'd be glad to pray for you. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that every time he thinks of this woman, he gets sick to his stomach and wants to vomit. I pray, Lord, that he'll have a headache, that he won't even be able to think straight, that if she comes in, he'll be so nauseous, he'll have to run to the bathroom and throw up. Lord Jesus, help him with this sin, never to do it. Lord God, protect him, protect his wife, protect his kids. And that other woman, Lord, I pray that she won't even show up tomorrow. He stood up, he looked at me, and he was a big guy. He left. I didn't see him for about a month and a half. He came back and he says, I need to tell you something. And I'm going, here you go. He goes, you know how mad I was at you? I go, honestly, I don't care. He goes, I wanted to take you out, man. I says, okay. Did I do something wrong in God's sight? He goes, no. He goes, but I'm going to tell you something, Pastor George. Thank you for your prayer. Every time I saw her, I was nauseous. My stomach was in knots. I felt like I was going to throw up. It's totally God and the Holy Spirit, you know. If you're going to pray for someone that asks those kind of things, that's how you pray. Does that make sense? Don't let them get away with it. Like, come on, you got to be kidding me, you know. I'm going to go kill my sister. Will you pray for me as I do that? Let's not do that, okay? All right. Let's go through this. This is a prayer guide that we used a couple years ago. How many of you guys ever went through a couple years ago when we did prayer at home as a campaign? Well, good. If you did, it's time to go through it again. If you didn't, it's time to go through it. What I'm going to ask you to do, now the goal here is to pray in all of these areas every day and multiple times a day. But what I found in the research when I put this together was most families didn't do even what we have here, praying seven times a week individually for yourself, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, parents, and siblings, praying five times a week as a family, including meals and bedtimes, and praying two times at least a week with your spouse. Now, if you're not doing that, don't beat yourself up. Let's start doing it, okay? If you are doing that, increase it. But what the goal is that you're constantly in an attitude of prayer, constantly praying and being used by God. I'm going to share some things in this brochure, and I'm going to ask you to take a couple elements of what I've given you in here and commit to between now and the end of the year to doing it on a regular pattern. Do you know that in order to create a habit, it takes 90 days? Does anyone know that? 90 to 120 days? Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is create a habit of prayer, that by the end of the year, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I'm praying regularly. When we did this last time, I literally, in the at-home room, had wives coming in tears saying, my husband's praying for me every day. We never prayed together. My family, my husband's praying with my family. We've never prayed together. Praise the Lord, right? I had one other, and it talks about when you're gone. One other wife came in and said, my husband travels, and because we've been praying together regularly now for 90 days, and my husband was going to leave for a week, my teenage son said, I got this, Dad. I'm going to make sure we're praying regularly while you're gone. So I'm going to ask you to do this. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. As I think I stated earlier, Della and I, for years, did not pray. We prayed over meals, but we didn't pray in the morning at night. Right now, we pray almost every night before we go to bed and almost every morning before I go to work or she goes to work. I say almost because sometimes I and it happens, right? But we are in a habit of praying together, and when we don't, we miss it. There have been literally times where we're in bed, and Della will say even, we haven't prayed, and I go, could you just pray tonight? I'm serious. Or vice versa, where we're in bed, and I'll say, hey, we haven't prayed. And she goes, George, could you just pray tonight? But pray. Be there to support each other in that. Okay, so the next inside panel, it says again, why pray? I gave you guys some thoughts, but it also says build a lifelong thriving marriage, strengthen the relationship with your children and teens, nature strong faith in the hearts of your children and teens, reduce the levels of tension in your home, increase mutual trust, respect, and intimacy. If you're praying for one another in the morning, you should know what the other person's going to be up against that day, so you could be praying for them through that. Also, if you're praying properly, you're naked before one another. Does that make sense? And you're really communicating what's going on. So it's hard to hide things from each other. Does that make sense? And you don't want to hide things from each other. You want to be open and honest with each other. So there it says in Hebrews 14:6, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Again, a couple other scriptures, and it comes overcoming obstacles. Okay, schedule. Have a schedule of when you're going to pray, where you're going to pray, how you're going to pray. At first, you need to do that, and then it might be easier not to. But again, Della and I know that every morning, we're going to pray before I leave for work or she leaves for work. Every night, we're going to pray before we go to bed. We're in a habit of doing that. So pick a time that works good for you. It might be that you guys have different work schedules, and it might have to be at lunchtime or right after dinner or right before dinner, but schedule a time. Again, when you're traveling, you could still pray or text prayers to each other, can't you? Della and I text each other regularly, that we love each other. I'm praying for you. How's your day going? And so on and so forth. Don't tell Pastor Jack, but he doesn't care. I'm teasing because that's on the job time, right? But anyway, constantly, don't interrupt your job, but make sure you're continually in communication and continually in prayer. If I'm having a bad day, if I had a terrible biblical guidance appointment, for instance, somebody walks in, you know, I could tell you this last 2 weeks since this pastor committed suicide, those of you who know about it, it's been grueling, the number of calls, walk-ins, and emails we're getting with people struggling with suicide. And so I might have a walk-in that I just dealt with, and a call-in that I just dealt with, and another email that I just dealt with, and I'll just call Della or text her and say, please pray for me. I need strength and energy for the next person that calls on that phone. So if you're going through things, let your significant other, let your spouse or your partner know what you're going through so they could be in prayer for you. And then when you come home, say, how are you doing? Della will, like the, last week, there was some, I was just literally going through it. I said, please pray for me. About 2 o'clock, I get a text. How are you doing? Does that make sense? Constantly being committed to God, constantly being committed to one another in that. The nudge, here's a real important thing, nudge there. It says, give everyone permission to nudge one another back on track during the inevitable seasons when your prayer routine wanes. Does that mean, you know what a nudge is? No, but we haven't prayed in 3 days. Is it okay if we pray? And the other person can say, yeah, what's it to you? Or, I know. No, say, you're right, let's pray. That's being able to let and give the other permission to nudge you. Does that make sense? Could we all do that? Everyone commit to do that? Loving nudges are good. Honestly, they're really good. They get you back on track. Here's when they don't work, when we're prideful and arrogant. That's the truth. Does that make sense? If Della says, you know, George, I think we need to pray about this. You pray. That's pride and arrogance. Hun, you're right. Let's pray. Does that make sense? Do it. Okay, the center panel. Different things you could do. You can have a prayer board where you put up specific prayers that you want to pray for. You could have a recipe card box where you have different prayers in like a recipe card box. We could pull them out and pray for each other on them. Family prayer journal. And again, that gives you more detail on these things in there, but you can do that. Mealtime prayer. Have an extended time afterwards where you could actually pray for each other, not just eat and run. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but it's just a real unique thing anymore for families to have meals together, let alone have time to pray together. And so I would encourage you, if you can, especially if you have children, to eat together, where you can communicate together and pray for each other. In the morning, as we talked about, before you head out the door, drive time. You yourself can be driving and praying. Don't close your eyes when you're driving and praying. But honestly, you know, when I worked in Southgate, I had a lot of prayer time on the way to and from work. A lot of times, especially when it was raining, I'd be on the freeway sometimes two and a half hours. And I'd just be praying, Lord, who else should I pray for? What else do I need to pray for? So there's time to make sure you're doing it. Special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, walks. Okay, let me show you something that was just phenomenal. Della and I walk a lot together. We like walking. And so, was it about a month ago? About a month ago, we went for a walk. And as we went for the walk, I said, let's just pray. There's a lot going on. And we, back and forth, prayed for so many deep things and so many people that we hadn't prayed for as deep and as long as we did that time. It was phenomenal. The walk went by so fast, my hip still hurt, not because I have a bad hip. But what I'm saying is, when you're praying and walking, it was something revolutionary. It's like the time was so redeemed for us. Not only were we physically growing, our bodies were doing better, but our spiritual minds we're able to pray for people, praying for our kids, praying for our grandkids, praying for those who we work with and work for, praying, just keeping it all in prayer. And it was just really, really a sweet, sweet time. So I'm going to encourage you, even on walks, you can pray. I used to also, when I worked out in the morning on the treadmill, I'd listen to worship and then turn it off and have a time to pray. Because communicate to God and listen to him, because he wants to talk to you too. On the next side, it talks about jumpstart prayers, silent prayers, and it gives you a way to do that. Sentence prayers. Take turns allowing each person who is comfortable in doing so to pray very short, one-sentence prayers, such as, "Please heal Uncle Paul. Thank you for giving Troy a new friend. I'm sorry for losing my temper with everyone early today." It's not sin to say, "Gee, I'm using some of these things to learn how to pray." It's good to do that. Use these elements. High-low prayers. Have each person share the high point and low point of their day. Then hold hands and give thanks for the high and ask help for the low. So you're saying, okay, what went on in your day today? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then you join hands and you're praying for them and they're praying for you. You're being united together. You're giving the situation to God. Fill in the blank prayers. Use pre-written language to guide or focus prayers. God, I love you because. God, I'm sorry for. Does that make sense? You can do that. You can do it. What to say? Praying for perspective. Again, confession prayer. Request prayer. Okay, now, the very back panel. Well, actually, it's not the very back, but panel 5, where it says prayer at home action plan. This is where I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? If you don't have a pen or pencil, when you get home, please fill this out. I'm going to ask you to commit to prayer and commit to the 7-5-2 plan or more. And an example, pray for 10 minutes on Tuesday and Thursday evening at the end of our walk together, or family, Monday and Thursday, or the days I'm going to pray, circle them. So under choose a strategy, it says, we will use the following strategy. So you fill in there how you're going to make sure you're totally intentional about praying for one another, for your family, for yourself. Does that make sense? Are we willing to do this? You want your life changed, I'm telling you, you got to do it. Make the preparations, it says. Unless you begin your prayer at home routine in the next 5 days, the likelihood of following through is slim. Take out your schedule now and schedule 1 hour in which you will gather, purchase, prepare, display anything needed to implement the list. List the preparations needed. So you guys have to do this. You do this, it's going to change your life. It sounds like most of you guys have seen the movie War Room. When you saw that movie War Room, did it change your life? I mean, honestly, it changed my life. And then we hadn't watched it in 3 years since when it first came out. And then we watched it again, and I was like, oh my gosh. We're not praying enough. We need to get back on our knees and pray. It was conviction to us to pray more. I'm going to have Della come up and share something. So for the women, I'll let her share. And then we're going to have questions and answers too. Let me see if I turn this on right.
I just had a little story that I want to encourage moms that you and dads that you need to pray with and in front of your children. They need to know you have a prayer life. And a funny little story, when my girls were little, Donna was probably about 6 or 7, and Danielle was in maybe about 3. So, and we, sorry, I got nervous. I don't know why. But anyway, I was having one of those days where they were driving me crazy.
That never happens, right, women?
So I went down the hall. They were old enough to be alone for a few minutes. I went into my room. I shut the door, and I hear Danielle, being so little, she didn't understand. And she's going down the hall and she's starting to pound on the door, and I hear Donna saying, "No, no, leave her alone. When she comes back out, she's going to be better." Because she knew I'd gone in to pray, and she had seen me do that before. It's like, she'll be better when she comes out. So they learned early on that there is, you know, prayer is a good thing, and you can seek the Lord, and he can reset your attitude. And that was just, I felt that was a good lesson for them to have learned, but it just, they need to know. Donna knew I didn't just go in the room to get away from them. I went in the room to pray, because I had shared that with her. So she knew what I was doing, but it was just so cute for her to say, "No, Danielle, don't bother her. She'll be better when she gets out."
What one of the things that's really important is that we see each other praying, that we know the other person is praying for us. Does that make sense? I know Della's praying for me. It just strengthens me that day to go through it more. And I could feel her prayers. You know, I feel that she's praying for me and that the Lord's there, and she knows the same. And if you're even, "Well, I've got a prayer life, I pray by myself." Well, that might be good, but she needs to see me praying to know I have a relationship with God and know that I'm communicating with God and that I'm communicating love with her. And I need to see her pray and hear her pray to know that she's really, that she loves me. No, but that she's praying for me. I need her support. Guys, you know, gals, listen to me, gals. I can do so much more knowing that she's praying for me and that I've got her support. I wouldn't want to do this or anything else I'm doing if I didn't think I had her support and her prayers behind me, because it's spiritual warfare. And I want to be ready and have that armor on to do the right thing. Does that make sense?